questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Those who have been listening to this series of shows, they are quite familiar with the current that we have in this series of shows. We are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions that we receive from different questioners from around the world. And for that, we invite Islamic researchers, scholars from Qom Seminary Schools to help us with the answers. As usual, we have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi, Islamic researcher and scholar from Qom Seminary Schools, to help us in this show. He is the guest of us in this studio. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for accepting the invitation. The question that we want to ask it from the respected speaker, guest speaker of this show, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, Islamic researcher and scholar from Qom Seminary Schools, to shed some light on, is concerning the sins that we, as the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, commit. We, first of all, like to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not to commit any sin first, not only the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt and Shias, but also all the Muslims all around the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them infallibility to come to them. But based on some narration, it has been understood that the sins of the Shias, the scholars, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, actually will be ignored, and due to the muhabba and love that we have for the Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. And they sometimes refer to that Quranic verse that says that, for example, قُلْ لَا أَسْعَلِكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمُوَدَّةُ فِي الْقُرْبَى. So the Prophet ordered us to love my Ahlul Bayt, to love my close ones, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. The reward of Allah, as the generosity of a creator is, would be great. That is, the paradise and Jannah would be the reward of that. So I wanted you, Sheikh, to shed some light on this question and in this doubt that comes to the minds of the people that, okay, with this understanding and with this sort of interpretation of the ahadith and narrations, are we allowed to commit any sin? So if so, why we have all those recommendations not to get close to our performance of a sin, and then many, many other ahadith will be under question. So how can we collect between these different and, let's say, to some extent, opposing ahadith and narrations?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, there are few narrations that, some Shia, they have referred to, and they have concluded that all the Shia will go directly to heaven, and irrespective of whether they have committed any sin or not, all of them are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, and they will intercede for them, and there is no punishment for any sins that they may commit.
Mm-hmm.
The most important narration in this regard is a narration from Amr ibn Yazid. He says that I told Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that I was said that you have said our Shia will go to paradise. Imam said that according to this narration, yes, I have told that. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of them are in paradise. Amr ibn Yazid said that, but many of them, they have committed some great sins. Imam said, according to this narration, on the Day of Judgment, these Shia will be interceded by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, or one of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, and they will go to paradise. But I am fearful of Barzakh. Amr ibn Yazid said, what is Barzakh all about? And Imam says that Barzakh is from the grave till the day you are resurrected for the Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, this narration this narration is referring to a very important topic. And for that, we need to examine the chain of the narration. And in this chain, we have two people. One of them is unknown, Ahmad ibn Muhammad, and the other, Abdul Rahman ibn Hammad, is a weak narrator. So, unfortunately, I mean, some people just, when it comes to jurisprudence, they think that we need to, I'm talking about lay people, we need to pay attention to the chain. But when it comes to these narrations, which are related to our beliefs to some extent, they think that we may refer to any narration mentioned even in a book like Al-Kafi. But this is not the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for our beliefs, we need authentic narrations as well. But let's imagine that this narration is authentic, and let's talk about the content of the narration. Now, there are a couple of points that we need to address. The first point is that in this narration, Imam alayhi salam is talking about Shia. Mm-hmm. Now, who is Shia? Is it only the person who claims to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or there is something beyond that? The same Imams, I mean, let's assume that this is a true narration. The Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they have introduced the true Shia. For example, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam says that our Shia are the ones who follow our commands. Mm-hmm. And they are against our enemies. And if a person is not like that, then he cannot be considered a Shia.
That's true.
Jabir Juhfi says that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said, "O Jabir, is it enough for a person just to claim that he's a Shia and I love the Ahlul Bayt? Is it enough? I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," Imam Baqir is swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "that our Shia are only those people who are pious, they are God-conscious, they practice taqwa and piety, and they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." In another narration, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is quoted as saying that, "Do not make excuse in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that, for example, we are Shia, we are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt. No, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Shia are only the people who follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now, this is the first point.
Yeah.
We are talking about true Shia, and a true Shia is not a person who says that, okay, I have all the freedom to commit any kind of sin, and then I will be permitted to go into heaven, into the heaven because of the fact that I love the Ahlul Bayt. No. The Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, themselves, they have told us that this is not a true Shia. The second point is that in this narration, Imam alayhi salam is talking about the world of Barzakh. We know that after death, we go to an intermediary world, which is called the world of Barzakh, which is between this world and the next world. And in it, some people have a good life and some people are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many narrations, in some narrations, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they have told the Shia that this time and period might be very difficult for the Shia. And the Imams alayhi salam, they are talking about sinful Shia.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So the point is that according to us, we believe that the true path is the religion of Islam, and among all the Islamic denominations, Shia school of thought is the true path. Doesn't mean that non-Shias and non-Muslims, they will go to hellfire. Not necessarily. We have talked about that before. Yeah. I don't want to repeat that. But does it mean that all the Shia will go to paradise directly? Not necessarily. It is completely dependent on their actions.
Very true.
Now, one of the...
And who is going to be included among the Shias in the definition that you made is something very different.
Now, when we are talking about Shias who have committed some sins, their sins can be forgiven through different stages.
Mm-hmm.
One stage is in this world, it can be forgiven through some problems and difficulties. For example, you are a true Shia, but you have committed some sins. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to suffer, for example, from an illness. But through that illness, through that difficulty, some of your sins are forgiven. This is the first stage. So if you are a mu'min, if you are a Shia, for any problem that you are suffering from, some sins of you will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look at this world with this perspective, we come to this conclusion that anything that happens for a believer, for a mu'min, it is for his or her goodness, because it will either remove some of their sins or will raise their ranks before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another stage is at the time of death. According to some narrations, some good Shia, they have a very difficult time at the time of the separation of the soul from their body. Some people think that if you see that a person has a very difficult time at that very crucial moment, it means that he is a very bad person. No, this is not the case. For some Shia, they have some remaining sins. Mm-hmm. And through that difficult time at the time of death, that remaining sin, those remaining sins will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become absolutely pure. Then the next stage is the world of barzakh. If that Shia has committed so many sins to this extent that still there are some remaining sins,
yeah,
he will be punished in the grave. In accordance with the number of the sins that they have committed.
Yeah.
And then we come to the Day of Judgment. If people have the capacity to be interceded by the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, then the remaining sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the intercessions of the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. If not, if they have committed so many sins to the extent that they do not have the capacity even to be forgiven through intercession, according to some narrations, even the person who is Shia but has committed so many sins, they will go to hellfire but for a short time. Some narrations even have referred to the number of the days or years.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, after they are cleansed and they are purified from the sins, they will go to paradise and will remain there forever. So the point is that it's not enough for us to claim that we are Shia.
Definitely.
No. Faith and amal salih. There are many verses in the Quran which refers to the fact that both beliefs and good actions matter. So if you are true Shia, it means that our beliefs are, true. But what about righteous actions?
Yeah.
Amal salih. So it's a satanic trick that, some people unfortunately may be deceived by, that only to claim to love the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt is enough. This is not the case. Let me share.
So these two important factors are not going to be separated from each other.
Exactly.
That is, beliefs comes with good deeds.
Exactly.
So if our belief is correct, is part of, 50% of it is correct.
Yeah.
Then what is going to be with the rest 50%?
Yeah. Let me, as long as I have time, there is a very interesting narration from Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. He says that, اتقوا الله معاشر الشيعة. O Shia, be wary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just, translate the narration. You will not lose heaven, although your sins may cause you to, enter the paradise with a delay.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that at the end of the day, you will enter paradise. But
yeah,
now make a competition with each other to reach the higher level of paradise. It was asked from the Imam that will any person who loves you and loves the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt will enter hellfire. The Imam said that a person who is going to, act against the commands of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali alayhi salam and commit sins and oppress other people and so on and so forth, on the Day of Judgment he will come to us as a guilty person, as a sinful person, and the Prophet and the Imam will, addressing him, will say that you are a sinful person and you do not have the capacity to be with the righteous people in paradise. You do not have the capacity to be together with the angels unless you get purified from your sins. And one of the ways, according to this narration, is that he will go to the first stage of the hellfire. We know that hellfire also has different stages. The easiest one, if we may call it this way, is the first stage. So that person will go to that stage, and through that, for sometimes they will be there and they will be purified. Yeah. And some people, according to this narration, they have committed less sins. So the Imam says that they are purified through going different calamities and difficulties in this world. And as I mentioned, according to this narration, Imam says that some of them, their sins are forgiven by having a very difficult time at the time of, separation of the soul from the body, and some of them, they are punished in the grave. So the conclusion is that at the end of the day, for sure, it matters whether we are Shia or not, whether we love the Ahlul Bayt or not. But it's not, blank check to us to commit anything that we wish. As you mentioned, 50% of it is okay, the fact that we are following the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, but the righteous actions matter as the remaining 50%. So the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt also have asked us to be a kind of adornment for the Imams. So as Shia, if we want to be a kind of adornment for the Imams, it requires us to be more attentive regarding our actions, not just to be deceived by the Satan and claim that we are Shia and we have all freedom to commit anything.
Very beautiful. To be called a Shia, our duties are even more, exactly, rather than to think that, exactly, we are free from, let's say, we are free to commit anything or not. So this is what you beautifully actually explained, that we, the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, need to be more cautious of what we are doing, and we have to be even more attentive to what we are doing and what we are even believing in. Many thanks, Sheikh Murtada, for your scholarly elaboration in this show, and you, brothers and sisters, for your staying tuned and your listening to this series, QAnon and Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. We're still looking for your questions, suggestions, and criticisms on this series of shows, that you can easily send it to us through our email, which is irib.englishradio@irb.ir. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.